This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Somebody says the umpires are the heel in baseball.
Those are the bad, evil people in baseball. Not far from it.
The heel in baseball is also the owners.
That's a good one.
And then somebody says Rendon or Gerrit Cole. Are either one playing currently?
Gerrit Cole's out for the year. And I don't know about Rendon.
He's on that Kirk Cousins contract flex.
Well, yeah, that's kind of why he's a heel, He's just a douche.
Got all the money,
I'm good here. I'm not going to play again. What do you mean you're not going to play? Hey, you're going to play. We paid you all this money. Get your ass out there and play.
No doubt about it. We are now joined by Josh Briscoe to talk about all things NFL draft and maybe the future of this NFL team. We're not here to ask for grades. You're not a professor, but I do want to ask how you feel going into May with the new arrivals on this Chiefs roster, Mr. Briscoe.
I feel pretty good about the Chiefs. I'm hearing myself in my headphones right now, which is actually perfect. So I was going to say, I think my brain is oatmeal. That's what I feel like now. Like, I'm hearing myself and I've been hearing echoes of drafts names, and I slept finally well last night. So I have recovered, and I feel like the Chiefs have recovered in some really key ways here too.
Which key way? Let's start there. Where did they recover?
Well, I think the most obvious thing is, I know I was on with Cody and Gold on Friday. I know Bink is not going to join us on this one.
No.
But I think they have solved the question of what is the long-term plan at left tackle. And with the Josh Simmons pick, I understand the risk. And truly, I understand where Bink's coming from. I understand seeing that pick and your first reaction being, okay, don't love it, but we'll see where he goes. Here's the thing, though, with Simmons. He really, truly, and I think a lot of people know this by now, he would have been the first or second tackle off the board without the injury. Right. Now, the Chiefs don't get to draft a guy who wasn't injured, right? Like, they still have to play in that alternate universe. He's not a Kansas City Chief. But when you have that opportunity to get a guy with that sort of ceiling, the type of risk matters, but it doesn't move me entirely. Like, go back 2 years to Felix and Udike Uzomah at 31 overall. That was a selection that had a risk of development. Of, let's take this really young kid who's taken one big jump and bet that he can do it again at the NFL level. Well, he has a red shirt year and then kind of a semi sort of working your way into the rotation year two. That was a different type of risk. Xavier Worthy was too small to be a top 10 or 15 pick. You're taking the risk that he'll have a long, healthy NFL career. And I think that was a wise risk there too. So there's always going to be a real risk. I think once you get outside the top 10 and sometimes even higher than that, I'm really comfortable with Simmons's risk and the way the Chiefs process came through there. So that's the one I'm the most excited about. Obviously, it's the most premium pick, and I think it's going to be really fun to follow. Even if it's not the best case scenario, the process was good and the player is excellent.
Well, I think also too, the Chiefs are afforded to be in that position, Josh, with all the work that they put in over the decade of establishing themselves as an organization where you have that opportunity. How many teams would love to be in that position where the Chiefs are? I don't want to use it to take a flyer because he's a hell of a player if he's healthy, but how many teams are capable of even being able to be in the position to do something like that? The Chiefs are one of the few.
And really, it's kind of funny to think back to last year when the Chiefs might not have been one of those teams in retrospect, right? Like, what I think the biggest reason they can do this year is Jalen Moore's existence. And I know, like, that's a decent chunk of money, and I think, obviously, the plan is for him to be your starting left tackle this year. And then next year, best case scenario, you got Josh Simmons forcing his way onto the field, and Jalen Moore is an above-average right tackle in 2026, if that's where you go. But thinking about the fact that you have Moore as your incumbent now, as opposed to going into this time last year, it was, okay, well, it's Wanye Morris versus Kingsley Suamataia. People were talking about David Bakhtiari maybe getting added to the training camp roster. This is still night and day from where they were last year, when obviously that position haunted them throughout the season. They have two better investments now in Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons than they had with the left tackle position last year with the combo of Kingsley and Wanye.
keeping it with the combo, Josh, they brought back Kareem Hunt, and of course they have Isaiah Pacheco. Got a running back in the seventh round. I think a lot of us, myself included, were thinking a little bit higher is where they would select the running back class. But what's your thoughts on the kid from SMU and pick at the seventh round pick?
I really had a rough 2020 draft cycle as I was really kind of solidifying my stance in the sort of running backs don't matter kind of space. And then the Chiefs take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I had an upsetting couple of weeks, as many, many of my very wrong takes became very, very evident, right? That's where I've kind of been evolving over these last 5 years. Obviously, the Clyde pick backfires for the Chiefs. And then even as last year goes around, I think there's been a little bit of a misrepresentation now of like the idea that running backs don't matter. The idea is that there are a lot of really good running backs. And look, man, I grew up a Chiefs fan. I grew up on Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson and Jamal Charles. Like, those were the stars, you know, Tony Gonzalez, don't want to leave him out. But this was a running football franchise here. Last year, you see them just kind of cobble it together. So I, as a bit of a running backs don't matter dork, even I was there on day three going, all right, well, I'd take DJ Giddens here, or I'd take Martinez here, I'd take Devin Neal here. And they just kept going and going and going and going. And if they would have left that draft class without Breshard Smith, who I think might have been one of the last one or two running backs on the board, who kind of felt like he had a little more juice than just whatever UDFA you'd see in the offseason, I am now totally back at ease because of Breshard Smith. I think he has a skill set and also, very importantly, a rookie contract that this depth chart really, really needed. I think he has a chance to contribute early. I think it's a smart bet. I think the skill set is fun, and he has a little more juice for this running back room. Plus, I think the Chiefs are telling you they think Isaiah Pacheco is going to look much, much better not rushing back from the ankle injury. I still wouldn't have minded them going running back in even the fourth or fifth round. I'm really glad they ended up with Jalen Royals, though. I would not have minded an earlier investment in running back, but ultimately my concerns were pretty well soothed by Breshard Smith in the seventh.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I really like that pick in the seventh round because I'm with you. I'm not a huge running back guy, and you know, to invest money or a high draft pick in a running back still, in my opinion, is fool's gold, because just because a couple of guys were good last year doesn't mean we have to change the entire position that we've been looking at for the last decade and go, okay, now we need to spend on this position. So they found Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. You know, who's to say this guy can't be the next, if you will, obviously not same player, but Isaiah Pacheco, where you found a running back in the seventh round that turned into a big time contributor for you. And with Andy Reid, who's to stop him?
And they kind of keep doing similar things elsewhere structurally, where you're kind of saying maybe Elijah Mitchell's Jerick McKinnon-ish, right? And Jerick McKinnon was maybe he'll be Damian Williams-ish. I think that there's a strategy of numbers, of volume there, where you do still have to inject fresh talent, right? That's mm-hmm. why I wanted to see somebody in the room. Because if you just said, yeah, we're going to just throw the numbers at it, and it's exactly last year, plus maybe Elijah Mitchell will be on the field. Maybe. We'll find out. Now there is that feeling of, hey, here's one new ingredient. Plus Pacheco's healthy. Plus Kareem Hunt will be here in training camp and not have to have whatever it was, 27 or 28 carries in his first game back. So I think it is a coherent group. It's not a super exciting room, but I think the Chiefs just need to have a varied skill set. The logic they sold on that Clyde pick 5 years ago was, hey, here's one guy who can be on the field all three downs. And I understood the vision for that, but that's very, very rare. Like you mentioned, Bob, and I think it's a good point, we shouldn't be recalibrating our entire strategy here because Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry went to really good teams with really good running games and really good quarterbacks and had unbelievable seasons. They deserve a ton of credit for that, but those are even more exceptional than some of the other running back conversations we've been having in previous years. A bad team will not be saved by a running back. A great team can be aided by a great running back. But if you're going to go ahead and say, all right, Josh, well, you tell me, would you rather have Devin Neal in the fourth and a seventh round wide receiver, or Jalen Royals in the fourth and Breshard Smith in the seventh? I'm taking option B, no doubt.
I'm with you on that, too. I like Royals, man. What's your thought on him?
It's sort of refreshing that they found a wide receiver who mostly plays on the outside, and they said, hey, you know what? I think we have a role for him. That's the thing for me where I know I get too excited about a rookie wide receiver because they've really hit on Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, and even they take 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks to kind of really fully get in the mix. So I don't want to tell you that Jalen Royals is going to be the outside wide receiver starting in week one, because I want to say that. But he seems to me like a guy whose game is going to translate pretty well. He doesn't have one of those like super overwhelming physical traits that makes you a first round pick, or even Rashee Rice is a second rounder with the ball in his hands. But I think Jalen Royals was much closer to a second or third round prospect, a legitimate day two prospect who, again, can be that X outside receiver. At least that's the goal here, right? You have all these players who are really good in the slot, and different types of guys who are really excellent out of the slot, like Rashee Rice, like Xavier Worthy. You also need to continue to build that room up in the future. Rashee Rice only has 2 years left on his rookie contract. I know that feels crazy, but he's coming back off this injury. He's probably going to have a suspension. You've got to keep investing in that spot. I really like doing that with Royals.
When you look at this team going into next year, I think there's going to be a lot of similarities in the offense that we saw last year as into this year. Like, I know there's, you know, a lot of us that want to see that 2018-19 offense that was electric and explosive and historic, but it seems like they almost have it figured out with chaotic routes that work for them, and they just keep moving the chains, and they want to win games 21-14, 21-17. Is there going to be a difference or an uptick in offense in this year, or do you have anything that says it's not?
I think we have evidence that there will be at least stylistic differences, because I think that was plan A last year. I mean, think back to training camp and all of the Hollywood downfield routes, and look at Xavier Worthy making Matt Nagy dance on the field, right? Like, that was kind of the vibe of the offense before the injury started falling. So I don't want to give you sunshine and roses. Only thing that's ever going to happen is the best case scenario, because that's not how the NFL works. But if you do think back to how much of that season was without Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown,
yep,
and you think about adding both of them back in as contributors now too, in place of DeAndre Hopkins, or as much as Juju Smith-Schuster played, or Justin Watson even, I do think that there is a talent increase from last year, but I am saying that about a healthy roster right now, by and large. The other thing is I even wonder what last year's offense looks like if left tackle is average. And I think Jalen Noor will be average if Josh Simmons isn't healthy out of the gate and doesn't push for that job in training camp. I wouldn't rush him. I just think there's like a 30% chance that that's happening. If it's Jalen Moore for 17 regular season games, or however many he can play, I think that boosts this offense. I think Jalen Royals is a nice investment for the back half of the season and in playoff time. But ultimately, if Rashee Rice is back and healthy, if Hollywood Brown looks like the guy the Chiefs thought they signed the first time, this offense will be pretty significantly better in my book.
And I'm with you on the left tackle spot. That was the reason why, for the most part, last year they couldn't get things going. Obviously, the injuries are going to be, you know, a factor, and it really does show you how good Patrick Mahomes is, that he could take all those injuries that you just mentioned, still go 15-2 and still go to the Super Bowl and still avoid a left tackle position that was absolutely disgusting last year. Now you're going into the year, and if you're just competent at that left tackle, the rest of the league should be scared, because Patrick Mahomes can do great things if he has some time.
Well, I think that's kind of the connective tissue of what both of you guys just said that I have been keeping in mind throughout this entire draft process. And I know Brett Veach is keeping this in mind. I know the Chiefs have been having this conversation internally. But part of the reason, I mean, not even part, an enormous part of the reason the Chiefs have had all of this success in recent years boils down to simply having Patrick Mahomes play quarterback.
Right.
He can cover up a bunch of your warts. You can have a crummy left tackle. You can have your top two wide receivers go down within the first few weeks of the season. You can have your number one running back go down, and he can drag you all the way to an AFC champion, an AFC West championship, an AFC championship, and a Super Bowl, doing that with him and Travis Kelce and Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid putting their heads together. But that's also true in a better case scenario, where if you have a really good offense, if the circumstances are quarterback friendly, if you have a lot of weapons and an offensive line that can protect your quarterback, I believe we will see again Patrick Mahomes raise that level from a very good offense to the rocket ship flying through space that we saw earlier on. So it's harder now because Mahomes' contract isn't on a rookie deal, and they're paying a lot of guys on the defense, and they continue to invest in defense in the draft, which is wise to continue doing. But if you can get that place back to just where the surroundings and the supporting cast is good to very good, Patrick Mahomes will make you elite. If the supporting circumstances are crummy, he'll make you AFC West champions because he's a magician. But I'm hoping that they don't have to have Patrick Mahomes keep living that way. I know that this draft, this offseason, is another reinvestment in trying to solve that problem.
So somebody that's not in Kansas City, what was your sort of take now that it's Tuesday and it's finally gotten a little bit more rest on the whole Shedeur Sanders slide?
Yeah, it was interesting on a bunch of levels, right? I think step one was that, like, he was never in the real top five pick conversation for the league, right? Like, there was a little bit of the media inflation of, well, we know this guy, we know this guy's dad, and this is, like, maybe the most visible college football program in the country right now. Not most successful, most visible. But you see all of that, and that's something that can raise your stock. Being a quarterback can raise your stock. And I think, as we've seen now a little bit of the reporting and hearing a little bit these last couple of days, I kind of buy into the idea that, I can't remember who phrased it this way, but I kind of buy into the idea that he and his camp were kind of treating them as recruiting visits rather than job interviews. Mm. And I don't think that that's just like a, he has a bad attitude, we don't want him in the building kind of deal. I don't think he was getting blackballed or anything like that. But I can understand being an NFL team at a couple of levels and going, yeah, well, we don't really see the vision for him as our franchise quarterback. I don't know. I love him as our developmental second string kind of guy. I would understand that logic coming together. NFL teams have used that before. And I also still think there were probably, I don't know, three or four teams that should have taken him two or three rounds earlier. The Steelers still should have taken him with one of those picks before Cleveland did. Cleveland, I'm not sure I understand, but I understand the slide. I think a team should have stopped it before the fifth round, right? Unbelievable that he made it to day three, even, frankly. But a really interesting little case study in a very unique process.
It really just goes to show you, too, Josh, how much people think what the media is making up on their draft boards is exactly what NFL, you know, talent evaluators are thinking, too.
Right, and it's kind of interesting because sometimes you see, like, I think the last few years, a lot of those big, like, consensus boards, Arif Hassan and his Substack, it's called Wide Left, he's the one that puts together a bunch of those big boards to come up with the consensus boards. That's what almost makes the Shadur thing even more interesting, is the consensus boards have been getting really, really good publicly over the years, but Shadur was still inflated over everybody else, even though a lot of these analysts were saying, yeah, I mean, he's, like, my player 25 or something. Obviously, he ends up going far, far below that. So again, right. I think that's another reason the case study is so interesting, is because a lot of those big boards have been getting pretty good over the years, and you see a team like the Chiefs this year even have one of the best draft classes amongst a lot of those consensus big board rankings, finding value later on. That's another reason that, like, Jalen Royals in the fourth round feels pretty good to me.
When you look at the Cam Ward situation, do you like Cam Ward in the NFL, or do you think that there's still a lot more to be discovered with what he can do in this league?
I think I completely understand why the Titans said, we're going to stay right here and we're going to take the quarterback. And frankly, this could have been an argument I would have considered making for Shadur, not at one or even really probably in the first round. But again, if the Steelers would have taken him late in the first, I wouldn't have batted an eye. Nobody would have.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When you don't have the plan or even like a reasonable space holder at quarterback, it's very hard to pull the rest of the team into shape around you. And I don't mean, I don't want them to have Cam Ward like have to do what Patrick Mahomes did for the Chiefs last year, right? Because I don't think any rookie's ever in a position to do that. That's almost impossible. But I think the Titans see the vision for him as a playmaker, kind of the culture setter and all of those things, where you do have this fresh administration coming in. I understand. I think it's worth the first overall pick to have the quarterback, your pick of the class, and the guy that does really have a skill set that you can see the future for. Shadur doesn't have those physical tools that I would have bought into, even if you buy into him as a leader or whatever. I get it for Cam Ward. I like the story even. Like, maybe that's what GMs buy into sometimes and shouldn't, but I get it. Like, this guy clawing his way stop to stop, and now he's here at this level at the very peak of the NFL draft. I'm not like in love with Cam Ward. I wouldn't bet on him being a top 10 quarterback, but I understand why the Titans do it. Cause otherwise you're selling a fan base on, hey, let's give Will Levis one more year while we try to figure things out. I think you want to be building with the future in mind. And there's also no guarantee you're going to have a shot at a better prospect next year.
Well, and the thing is too, though, it's a good situation, but a bad situation. Cause now the clock immediately starts ticking on Borgonzi down there in Nashville. And they ran Carthon out of the building there in 2 years down in Tennessee. So, I mean, it's not like they're exactly, you know, willing to be patient. So he just started his clock down there.
No, that's true. And I don't, it seems like a lot of that has been ownership. And I'm hoping, I can't remember how long Borgonzi's deal was for, if that got publicly reported or not. But I was thinking that there was a little bit of job security for him because it has been kind of a sketchy footing with ownership and that revolving door there. But you're right. I mean, the clock starts now, but I think you'd rather have the clock start with, it's not a great quarterback draft class. We all saw that. But I think you'd rather start the clock with your choice of the quarterbacks in this year's class, rather than kind of start your clock now. And the next year, what if the Titans screw around and win six games? And now you're picking four, five, six, seven, somewhere in there and trying to figure out how you find your quarterback. So, it is absolutely a imperfect situation, and this is not an Andrew Luck type of prospect at one, but I understand how Borgonzi got to the point where he said, we love this quarterback enough to get married, at least for right now. It's not a marriage, it's a rookie contract, so I think 4 or 5 years, probably a reasonable bet for them to make.
Last one, because we're going to talk about it on the other side of this interview, 100 men or one silverback gorilla, who wins?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all these graphics about how like 4% of American men think they could beat up a gorilla one-on-one. That's insane. I think 100 would have a chance, but I would not want to be among those 100. So, I may go ahead and take humanity, but it would be from the other side of the glass and watching through fingers through my eyes.
No doubt about it. Briscoe, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the schedule release on May 14th, and then the real season begins.
You know, that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think I said with my fingers through my eyes, which is what would happen if I was fighting a gorilla.
No doubt about it. Well, we appreciate the time, Briscoe. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That is Josh Briscoe there. Join us here on Fesco and Dusty.